If you can get your Bibles this morning, if you will, open to the book of Psalms. Psalms 112. This happens to be Father's Day, and I'm sure the mothers are thankful that I'll be preaching mainly to the fathers this morning, since they had their turn a couple weeks ago. But Psalms 112, it starts out by stating in verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." May we begin prayer. Father in heaven, as we again approach thy throne of grace this morning, we thank you so much for your word and what it continues to teach us about your loving care. You teach us through your word and through your grace and through just your demonstration of what it truly means to be a righteous father. And Lord, I pray this morning as our fathers today and those in our congregation at one time in the future may be a father, Lord, that they will take to heart the message of this day. Lord, you prepare us to lead. You prepare us spiritually to lead and to lead our families. And Lord, I pray that we will take hold of your word and apply it to our hearts. Lord, you know the hearts of each individual that's here. And I pray earnestly this morning for one in our midst who's never trusted in your Son Jesus as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. Guide and direct my words. For its name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. You know, it's been said that America is fast becoming a nation that's on the rocks. And I will tell you that in many ways it is. And more than ever, our great nation needs to return to the foundation that is in Jesus Christ, into the teachings of the Scriptures. You know, much of the problem that we see throughout our country today is the lack of understanding of the biblical concept of the home and the father's role in the home. We've allowed government, we've allowed others to tell us what a home ought to be and what it ought to be comprised of. And the fact is that we ought to, you know, that a home today, and if you were to categorize it with our society, they would say, well, a home is basically just people that live within that are that love one another. And I will tell you that is far from the truth. The truth is that a home is truly represented by a father, a wife, and children. That represents a home that the Lord designed. You know, it's one of the greatest honors from the Lord for a man to be a husband and a father. Yet today in our society, it's a shame that so many fathers have abdicated their responsibility to be a father, to train their children. And it is just as bad, if not so, that they've abdicated their responsibility to train their children in the ways of the Lord. Now, I will tell you this. When I say abdicated their responsibility in their homes, is that there are those men who are living within their homes who that even though they're there, they've in many ways abandoned their family. They come, they go, they don't train, they don't teach, they do not demonstrate that they provide love and guidance in the home. In fact, oftentimes there's excuses that are given. I'm just too busy with work, I don't have time to spend with my family. Surely they understand. I'm going to tell you, they don't understand. They do not understand. If you were to look across the landscape of the American family today, you would find that many of the basic building blocks of all social structures, they continue to erode, and that is because the fact is that there is not a father, a husband in the home. And as a result, this has caused a very negative impact to the foundational fabric of our culture. And in such as this, in over the last 40, 50 years, we've seen a mass assault and destruction in our families. Divorce rate has escalated. Children have been abandoned by their fathers, leaving the raising of the children to the mothers. And And again, the responsibility of fathering has been often taken away from the father and given to the mother. And oftentimes it's been thrust on the mother because of the fact that the father has abandoned his responsibilities. And as a result, as you start to see this cyclic, regenerative thing happen, if you will, where fathers are out of the picture. And in many ways, I will blame the government on some of this. And from this perspective, when you tell a woman that we will give you more money if you don't have a man in your house or a husband in your house, a father in your house, then what has happened through our government is they have become the father. Well, how has that turned out? It's bad. It's caused a lot of decay. And as a result, many children, because there has not been a father in the house, they become angry. There's that dimension of what, for boys, they need a father in their lives. Girls need to be able to see a man in their meaning their father, and understand is that this is what a true man is. So that later on when they go and they're going to get married, is that they want to have a man that is going to be, really should be reflective of their father. And what I'm talking about is a man that is follow the ways of the Lord. We're talking about men that have stood strong. They've taken care. They've nurtured. Understanding is that what a man truly is. What a man truly is. Not what a demasculated man is, but what a man truly is. And that's what we are missing in our society. Our society has birthed a society with no respect for anyone, a society that's self-oriented instead of family-oriented. A family or a society that's godless instead of God-fearing. And the stability of the home, the stability of the home has a direct bearing on our society. Not only our society, but our nation, our church as a whole. When families are stable, when they're secure, and provide a satisfying and nurturing environment, the outcome is always to the greater good for all we touch. That's why it's imperative for husbands, fathers, to accept their God-given role to be the father they need to be and the spiritual leader they need to be in their homes. And without godly men, our families, our homes will crumble. They will continue to crumble. They'll fall apart. And I will tell you is that our wives need godly husbands. Our children need godly fathers. Our communities, our nation needs godly men. We read from Psalms 112. I want to use that as a backdrop. And this morning I want to speak about some of the responsibilities for setting an example and the example that needs to be in the home. One of the first things that I believe that we need to understand is that the father should be responsible for setting that example. Now, you're always going to set two examples, right? You're going to have either a good example or a bad example. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Good example or bad example. But one of the things that we find in Scripture, that a godly man should set a worthy example for his children. In fact, Ezekiel writes this, Ezekiel 20:19, I am the Lord your God, walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. In other words, do as I say. Do as I say, as the Lord has said. You know, oftentimes fathers will say this, don't do this or don't do that, and they go do the exact thing. You have to walk your talk. No one has to beg a godly man to do what's right. No one has to beg him to take on the godly responsibility. In fact, he delights in doing what God wants him to do and what God has called for him to do. Now, when we have fathers that set bad examples, I will tell you, our children, for the most part, are going to follow bad examples. In fact, if you look in, and I'm going to share with you several scriptures to further confirm what I'm saying this morning. 1 Kings 15, verse 25 and 26. It says, and Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned over Israel 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. And I will tell you that when you start to look at the succession of Jeroboam's own son that subsequently took over as king of Israel, the northern tribes, he also did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord because his father had set an evil example because his father and the ones that were associated with him. In fact, if you go back and you study, Solomon was the king at the time. And then the kingdom was split by God. Jeroboam happened to be a servant of Solomon. He was given the kingship over the northern tribes. And he did that was evil, which was in the sight of the Lord. Where did he get his upbringing? Not only his own father, Jeroboam's own father, but Solomon, who was king. So it just rolled on downhill. Bad example after bad example. A godly man learns not to be an arrogant husband, father, or friend. He learns not to be an abusive father, and husband, and friend. And he learns how to hold his temper, how to be in self-control. And that's what the Scriptures teach us as an example in Romans 12 and 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Psalms 57 and 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. A godly man, a man that's going to be a good example in the home, is going to one that sets bad examples by bringing hardships to his children. Now, what am I talking about? One of the things is that what we bring in the home, our children are going to learn from. Good and bad. So, think about the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, we're given this commandment. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, meaning to false gods, false images, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So a bad example can bring hardships unto the family. What we bring into the home, what we do in the home, can bring hardships to the rest of the family. Because again, they're going to think, children are going to think, because daddy is doing this, it's okay. And if daddy does this, then I'm going to do this as well. Though daddy may tell me not to do this, I'm still going to do it behind his back. And then look at where our kids have gotten off into. Our families are crying out for men who truly have a relationship with the Lord and who live by the Word of God. I will tell you, there is no perfect father except our Heavenly Father in heaven. But as men, as fathers, as husbands, we are to step up to the standard that God has given us, the standards that God has given us in His Word. You know, the father is responsible also for a godly association with his wife. One of the worst things that a father can ever teach his sons and his daughters, and I want to talk about both here for a minute, but one of the worst things that a father can teach his sons and daughters is to disrespect his mother, their mother, his wife. That disrespect, that and having that a godly association in showing them what it means. And the reason that I say this is that on the negative side, if the husband berates his wife, the sons will believe it's okay to berate their mother. And subsequently, they will berate their wives. And the girls, the daughters, they will believe it's okay to be berated. And they will, and the men that they choose, and they, the relationships they will get into will be very abusive because they will believe it's okay to be in that type of relationship. If we look at the negative side. But when we look at the positive side, we look on the side of a godly association a man has with his wife. It should be sacrificial. In fact, Ephesians 5 and 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So as a husband, a godly man realizes that his wife's happiness and her emotional security lies in the kind of spiritual leader that he must be. He realizes that he has a divinely appointed role and he is to be a role model, not only to his wife in spiritual leadership, but also to the children. He is to be that role model to his family that God has given him. He should live joyfully with his wife. In fact, Ecclesiastes 9 and 9 says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity, for the For that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. He shall give honor to his wife. In fact, we find in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel. It didn't say she's less. It's just that you honor and respect her as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So you know what that scripture tells us as husbands, as fathers, is that if we do not honor our wives and we dishonor them, we don't look upon them as the Lord would have us to, our own prayers are going to be hindered. The Lord is not going to hear our prayers. And sadly, too many husbands today do not live joyfully with the wives. They do not give honor. And many leaving their wives. And as a result, we find in Scripture the results of that. In fact, Malachi chapter 2, starting verse 14 says, yet you say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. So what do we have here? He is to be the spiritual leader. He is to honor. He is to show a godly association with his wife. Otherwise, it is going to have a negative impact on the whole family. Not only on the wife, but also on the children. So we have the godly association with the wife. Let's speak for a moment about the godly association that a godly father is to have with his children. First, he recognizes that children are a gift from God. Genesis 33 and 5 says, and he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are those with thee? Now this is the encounter that when Jacob came back to see Esau, Jacob was very afraid of what Esau was going to do to him. And in fact, if you go back and you read, he was really a coward. Jacob was a coward because when they came back to Esau, what did he do? He sent his handmaids that had some children by him. He sent, with the handmaids, they were up in front of this entourage. And then there was Rachel, and what was the other one? I forget his other wife's name. Leah. So they were in front too. And where was he? In the back. He was in the back. You guys get up in front. So if there's going to be some harm, you're going to be the ones that are going to be harmed first. And finally, you know, he came up to the front when he met Esau. And then Esau asked him, and that's when this verse 33 and 5 is in Genesis. And he lifted up his eyes, saw the women and children, and said, who are these? And he said, the children, and this is Jacob responding to Esau, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. So he acknowledged that these children were of God. So as a father, a godly man needs to learn to be again the divinely appointed role model. Our boys, our sons, our girls, our daughters, they need to have a godly role model in their lives. Our children desperately are crying out for godly fathers. They need to see that their father is truly living what he preaches, and that God is real in his life, and that his love for his wife and children is genuine. In fact, the psalmist wrote in Psalms 127, starting in verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb in his reward, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. So the children of the youth, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now there, we have to look at this also. If a man truly loves his children and is going to be the role model, one of the things that he's going to do is that he is going to correct his children when they are wrong. And sometimes it does require the rod of reproof. In fact, Proverbs 29 and 15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Proverbs 29:17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. There is a time for corporal punishment. My dad knew about corporal punishment. It was exacted on me several times. I needed it. But there were other times that corporal punishment was not needed. All he had to do was say things. I got it. I understood it. And the more I grew older, the more I got it. Corporal punishment was put by the side. Sometimes you still have to do corporal punishment, especially on a child that has a strong will. But we also have to understand not every child is the same. Not every disciplinary action will work on all children. One of our children was very defiant, needed a little bit more corporal punishment. Another one of our children, all I had to do was look at her, and she would be in tears. And you see, you have to judge between those. But discipline has to be done. I will tell you this. Today, parents are trying to be children's friends. That is not your role. Your role is to be a parent, to be a father, to be the father that the children would have. When your children become adults, then you can be friends. But until that time, you need to be the father. But not only do we correct our children. You see, fathers at times have a preponderance for telling a child no, but they forget to tell them yes. They forget to encourage them. And sometimes the child is left never knowing, well, when will I ever be able to do anything that's good enough for you, Dad? Because every time I do something is that you're always finding something wrong with what I do. So he needs to be able, and that's why I look at Ephesians 6 and 4 where it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And a father that continues to berate his children and never give them any encouragement, never to lift them up, to exalt them for what they are doing good, all they're doing is setting them up for failure. They will never believe that they are doing, have a way that they can do anything good. They'll never be able to please their father. I truly believe that's why it says, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Discouragement is wrath. Disparaging words always is wrath. But it says, but bring them up at the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Think about this, if our Heavenly Father never gave us a word of encouragement. If our Heavenly Father never told us that we're doing things right, and I will tell you, I want to know I'm doing things right. You say, well, how do you know what you're doing things right? I open up the Word of God. I can find in His Word, He says, these things I hate. Meaning, lying, cheating, stealing, doing all these things. Doing things that are against God. He says, I hate these things. Don't do them. But you know what He also says? These are the things I love. Serving me, praying unto me, being obedient unto me, worshiping me. I know that if I do those things, I will be blessed. He acknowledges that through the things that He does and shows me His love for me and His care for me. One of the other things that I find is that for fathers, we need to be very concerned about the spiritual welfare of our family. A father has the responsibility to train his children. In fact, the Scripture says in Proverbs 22 and 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, there's been a lot of upbringing of parents and with their children, and when the children get older and they take off into the world, even though they've been taught the ways of the Lord, there are times that children go off and do the wrong things. But you know, in the back of their mind, because they've been taught the principles of God, those things can easily lead us back. Brother John gave us a discussion in the devotional this morning with regards to the prodigal son. How did he know to go back? How did he know that things were going to be better back at home? How did he know? It's because he'd been taught while he was a child. You know, one of the things that I think that we need to understand, especially for fathers, fathers ought to be the ones to lead their children to God. And it doesn't take anything away from the mother. The mother is a helpmeet, don't get me wrong. But a father should be the one that is trying to lead that child to the Lord. Oftentimes what ends up happening is this, is the father will come to the pastor and will say to the pastor, Pastor, can you talk to my child about the Lord? Well, the pastor will love doing that, but really, that is the responsibility of the father, is to lead his children. And sometimes the father will say, I don't know where to start. I don't know where to start into talking to my children. Okay, you don't know where to start. Start somewhere simple. Start with somewhere simple. Open the Word of God. Number one, start to show them the Word of God. Start to explain this. And I will tell you, it can be just as simple as this. You see on my hand, I have a bracelet. The bracelet on my hand has 5 beads on it, right? The bracelet on my hand has 5 beads. They're just colored beads, right? Well, what do they mean? Why are you wearing that bracelet? What does it mean? Well, just something as simple as this. You see, this yellow one represents gold. You know what this is about? Our Father in heaven does not want anyone to go to hell. Our Father in heaven wants everyone to go to heaven. That's where He wants you to go. God, as the Scripture says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, how am I going to get there? Well, we look at this other one, we look at this black one. This black one tells us what? We're all sinners. Every one of us. We were born in sin. Our nature is sin because of what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. And as a result, we have been separated from God. Remember, God wants you to get to heaven. But we've been separated from God. We're separated. How can that gap be bridged so that I can get to heaven? God wants you to go to heaven. Well, look at that red one. You know why? How we can get there is because Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. And as a result of shedding His blood, is that if we trust in Jesus as our Savior, though we were black in sin, our spirit, our heart can be white just like Him. And otherwise, we can be cleansed just like Him. And as a result of being cleansed just like Him and His righteousness being given to us because of His grace, for by grace are you saved through faith. Because He loved us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And as a result of trusting in Jesus, and we have been made righteous by Him. And you see that green one? That's an important also bead on this bracelet. Because you see, this green one says, well, because He's not going to call us out right away to be with Him in heaven, though that's where He wants us to be. While we're here on earth, He wants us to grow. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to live for Him. And as we grow, as we continue to grow, He wants us to be able to serve Him, but He wants us to be able to serve Him in the right way, and that's why we open the Bible to find Him and to understand Him, to live by Him. And you know why we're going to do all this the rest of our life? Is because we're being prepared to be with Him in heaven where He wants us to be. You see, fathers, it's that simple. It's that simple to lead your children to Jesus Christ. And this book had no words in it. These beads had no words on them. But everything that I spoke to you was out of the Scriptures. Out of the Scriptures. You see, winning to someone to Jesus or telling them about Jesus, it's that simple. It's not hard. It only takes a few minutes to teach them and then to show them that God is real in your life. To show them that He is real in your life. The responsibility to train the child does not rest on the mother, though she is the helpmeet. It rests on the father. He's responsible for bringing them to worship. You know, we find here in Deuteronomy chapter 31, starting in verse 12, it says, gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. So a father, a husband, he is to give instruction. But my friends, I'm going to tell you right now, in order to give instruction, you have to know about the one you're giving instruction about. In other words, if you're going to teach your children about the Lord, you yourself have to know the Lord. Otherwise, how can you teach them? I shared with you before, and I'll say this again. Without knowing Christ as your Savior, you can read the Bible front to back, cover to cover. You can know the words, but you'll never know the words. You can know the words that are written therein, but you'll never know the words. You'll never know the one that gave the words. You'll never understand. You'll have no working knowledge until you yourself have come to know Jesus as your personal Savior. Think about this. Can a father teach a child about someone he doesn't personally know, that he hasn't done any research about, that he doesn't personally know, or about doing something by doing some craft? You know, it would be one thing for me to take my son as an example and tell them that I'm going to teach you how to drive a car, and yet I've never been in the car. I don't know how to turn the car on. I don't know what the pedals are for. I don't know how to shift gears. I don't know how any of that's done. And if I have not gone in and experienced driving the car myself and making mistakes and all of these things to learn how to drive that car, I could never teach my children how to drive that car. In other words, I have to have gotten into it. I have had to experience it. I have had to have gotten comfortable with it. It should be second nature to me, so that I can give them and share with them the wisdom and knowledge of what to do, to be cautious about what it means to be a right type of driver and what it means not to be the wrong, or don't be this kind of driver. And to tell them, yes, that as an example, stop does not mean spin tires on pavement. Alright? So we need to understand these types of things so that we can properly teach our children so that they can be responsible when they get in that vehicle. Well, think about it as with the Lord and with His Word. We have to understand is that we as men need to know the Lord if we are going to teach our children about the Lord. We need to understand how to handle the Word of God. We need to understand what it means to know the Word of God. And I will tell you, when I say to handle the Word of God and to know the Word of God, it has to affect our whole lifestyle. Now, I want to be very clear about what I'm talking about. Being able to quote Scripture is not knowing the Word of God, necessarily. It just says you can quote Scripture. And there's a lot of people that can quote Scripture. I'm talking about Christians. A lot of people can quote Scripture, but they have no clue what it means. I'm talking about how it affects your life, how it changes your life. You say, well, how is it that it's going to change my life? How is it going to affect my life? Well, think about this. You know, as men, you know, I've never made a mistake, so I'm going to set that off here. I've never had to say I'm sorry, all right? And even if I've made a mistake, and I'm going to let you know that it was not me, it was you, all right? So having just said, I just told you a big fat lie, all right, is that we all make mistakes, right? As men, we make mistakes. It is hard for us at times to say, I was wrong. It's like ground up glass in your mouth trying to say I was wrong. But sometimes we got to say it. And when we say it, we also have to say this, is that, and in front of our wives and in front of our children, I was wrong and I'm sorry I was wrong. Because our kids need to see, our children, our wives need to hear that we are applying God's Word, because we are not perfect. Though we may think we are at times, we need to say that we are wrong. And they need to hear that we were wrong and that we asked their forgiveness, just as we asked the Lord to forgive us. You see, in applying the Word of God, in teaching our children spiritual things, there needs to be application. When it comes time to do our taxes, and husbands and wives sit around the table and they're talking about their taxes, and our children are listening, they don't need to be hearing of how deviant we're going to be on doing our taxes. Do your taxes and pay them. That's what Jesus said. Give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Give unto God which is God's. When we're sitting there with our wives and we're talking as men, talking to our wives about what we give unto the Lord, our children should not hear that we're shortchanging the Lord. That's why it's written in Malachi, why are you robbing me? Why are you robbing me of your tithes and offerings? You know, I read a cartoon a while back I read a cartoon, or was reading through it, and it was a dollar bill and a $20 bill talking to one another. And the $20 bill, the $1 bill asked the $20 bill, said, so where have you been throughout your life? He says, well, I've traveled to this store, I've traveled to that majestic store, I've been over to this store, I've been to this place, I've been to that place. He said, it sounds like you've had a marvelous life. So the $20 bill asked the $1 bill, well, where have you been in your life? I've been to church. It's the only place I've ever been. Been to church. You understand that story? Because we shortchange the Lord. And our children see that we shortchange the Lord. And our children are being taught, well, give what's left over. If you got a dollar, throw it in the plate. Instead of teaching them about tithing, teaching about what offerings are. You see, that starts when they're young. That starts when they're young. Starts to understand is that not only they're giving, not only the decisions that are being made, not only, and also about preparation. Our fathers need to be teaching our sons what type of a woman he needs to be seeking as a wife as they get older. What type of a wife do you need to look at? Look for qualities. But he is the most important example that he is ever going to see is, first of all, his mother, but secondly, how his father treats his mother. And then to the daughters. This is the type of father that you need. He doesn't have to say, have them look for somebody like me. She will naturally ascribe to look for someone like her father if he is a godly man. Because he has been the role model. He has been the leader. He has shown that he loves his wife, and she will seek out a man that reflects the qualities of her father. She's not looking for her father. She's just looking for a husband that has the qualities of her father because he's been a godly man. We'll also find that when it comes to material welfare for the family, a father will be able to take and he will be able to gauge his commitment to his job versus his commitment to his family, and he will find the balance. And what I mean by that, you see, there's nothing wrong with a father doing better for himself, and whether it means getting some extra education, learning on the job, whatever it takes to better himself. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a father that wants to provide more things and better things for his family. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it takes place of providing love and guidance, when it takes place of providing time to the family, then he'll find is that it is wrong. He's out of balance because, you see, if he is not providing time, if he is not providing love and guidance to his family, they're going to seek it from someone else. They're going to want it because it doesn't go away and doesn't diminish. He may say, well, look at all the things I'm providing for you. I provided you all these different toys. I provided you all of these, this bigger house. I provided you all of this. I've given you everything. But yes, Dad, but the one thing that you didn't give us, your time, your love, and your guidance. You've told us that material things are much more important than your family. Though you thought by giving us all these things that we would love you more. No, we didn't love you more for the things. We would love you for your time, your love, and your guidance. You see, that's what our families are needing, and especially understanding that balance that's in the family. I will tell you, though, there are some fathers who live in the home that will not provide for their family. And I will tell you, that's just sad. In fact, the Scripture speaks to that. In 1 Timothy 5:8, it says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel or unbeliever. Too many men are content in letting others care for their family instead of providing for their own. Whether it be the government or sending a wife out, you go work. I'll stay here at home. I will tell you that is just wrong-headed, according to the Lord. It's wrong-headed. That doesn't say that the wife is not supposed to work. Women can be very industrious. But the father has the preponderance of the responsibility to provide for the family. The father is also responsible for protecting his family against sin. And one of the things that I find is that he has to protect his family from things coming in to the household. I will tell you is that for a father that starts to bring in things like pornography into the house, the children are going to find it. Especially if it's in print form. But you know, if it's even on the computer, the children are going to, at some time, they're going to end up seeing that a father has a responsibility to protect his children from it, meaning it don't bring it in. A father that allows for drugs to be brought into his home, the children are going to find the drugs. How many children? You know, one of the things I find that's starting to sweep across America is the legalization of what they call medical marijuana in the home. Whether it be in the form of the actual weed, or whether it be in the form of the cannabis oil. And that stuff is being brought into homes, and now we are starting to see, time and time again, 5-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, they're in the emergency room because why? They got a hold of their parents' stuff that was deemed to be for medical use only. You see, the more that it gets legalized across our country as it is being pushed to legalize it, I will tell you we're going to have more problems in the home. And I will tell you, and just in speaking about this, they say that marijuana is not a gateway drug. I want to tell you right now, it is a gateway drug. And it will lead to other things. And it will lead to either drinking more, it will lead to taking harder drugs, especially also the opioids that are coming into the homes today as well. That's just as bad. And my point is that a father is supposed to protect his family from these things. And to not bring these things. Scripture says, Proverbs 20:1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 23:20, be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Many a family has been destroyed through drinking and drugs, illicit sex, pornography, greed and lust. And these are just to name a few. Because the father allowed these things to come into the home. Now to counter that statement, Proverbs 20:7 says this, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Proverbs 21:12, the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Proverbs 21:21, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness and honor. He has to protect his family. He has to protect his family. And then when he protects, he does the thing, I truly believe that God will honor him in his family. He will be honored. He will be honored as the spiritual leader of his home. He will be honored by his children. He will be honored and respected by his wife. But he has to have this desire. As the psalmist wrote in Psalms 25, verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. You know, a father ought to have in his heart, at the end of his day, the end of his journey here on earth, he ought to have on his heart, there are two things I believe he ought to have on his heart. One is, what legacy am I going to leave behind? Well, I'll tell you right now, you're going to leave a legacy. Fathers, you're going to leave a legacy. But what is going to be that legacy? Is your wife, is your husband, are your, your children, are they going to be able to say, here was a man that served God. He lived for God, he loved God. Though he was not a perfect man, he knew God. He knows it was said about David, here was a man after God's own heart. That's a legacy. But you see, there's also something that we as men ought to be also considering this. What will God say to us? Will he be able to say, "Well done, husband. Well done, father. Thou hast been faithful. Well done." You see, that is something that we ought to have in our minds, in our hearts. And you see, if that's our motivation, part of our motivation for serving God, what is the Lord going to say about us? We will be in the Word of God. We will have a personal relationship. We will walk after the Lord. We will seek His favor. We will seek His blessedness. We will seek His righteousness. And you know what will happen? We'll seek it not only for ourselves, but for our wives, for our children, for our homes, for our church, for our nation. That's what we will be seeking. Let's go back again and read Psalms 112. "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endeth and endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." I will ask us in closing this morning, men, husbands, and fathers, where are we in our relationship with the Lord? Are we walking after the Lord would have us to? I would tell you right now, probably all of us as men ought to be on our knees. Because there's areas that we fall short in, and we need the Lord's guidance. Our wives, our children need to see us as walking after the Lord. But you cannot walk after the Lord unless you know Him as your personal Savior. And so again, I'll ask you this morning, and this is for everyone, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? If you do not, why not trust in Him today? He'll save you. He'll cleanse you. And you know what? That first bead on this bracelet, He wants you to be with Him in heaven. Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven? If you trust in Jesus, you will know. Let us stand as our musicians come for a hymn of invitation this morning. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study, we just thank you so much for what your Word has taught us. Lord, you know the hearts of each one here, the need of each one here. And Lord, at this time, may we have heard your Word deep in our hearts, and may we now respond to it. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.